that it all be one big picture, and we can see that heaven will surely be worth it all, everything we do for God. You know, the more we do for God, the better we feel. Have you ever noticed that? When you do things, you visit, whatever you do, you know you please God. You know it's been recorded for you. But nothing. Number 8, and do our song of invitation. If you need to make anything right, it'd be the time to do it. When we have this, you come to the front, sit on either side. We'll help you with baptism, or you need to pray to the church. You know, I was sitting here looking in the song book. It says, often I'm hindered on my way, burden so heavy I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Tolling in pain I will endure, till I shall hear the death angels call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure that heaven will surely be worth it all. I hope this morning we said in Psalms 122 and 1, and I was glad when he said, let's go to the house of the Lord. That's what David said, ain't it? Heaven will be surely worth it all. It'll be worth all that we go through in this life. And I'm hopefully, my first gospel meeting, I tried to put these lessons together where to this evening that it'll all be one big picture that we can see that heaven will surely be worth it all, everything we do for God. You know, the more we do for God, the better we feel. Have you ever noticed that? When you do things, you visit, whatever you do, you know you please God. You know it's been recorded for you. But nothing's recorded as far as if we hadn't obeyed the gospel. If we hadn't went down in the water and destroyed the body of sin, none of the good that we've done will be brought up at the end of time, because God does not know us till we become members of the church. You know, God does not want good people. He wants Christian people. You know, you hear that a lot. Oh, he's a good fella. He's a good fella. Well, God wants Christian, Christ-like people. So we got to do his will. Colossians 2 and 12 says, baptism is the operation of God. That's to destroy our body of sins. He adds us to his body, the Lord's church. Amen. Heaven will surely be worth it all is the title of my lesson this morning. Like I always say before I have a lesson, because I firmly believe this, all lessons are for myself. Because if you don't get them up for yourself, you're preaching to other people and you may not be doing it. And we got to be an example. We got to do it. So this morning my lesson is titled, Heaven Will Surely Be Worth It All. We talked of the dangerous times. We talked of being complacent or lost in the church. Now we want to talk about all this together and say, all we go through, the times and sorrows, and you know, it's appointed unto us once to die, then to judgment. We might as well get ready to die. Nothing you do, nothing you say, nothing where you go, it's going to keep you here on this earth. So let's quit trying to make it our home, because it's not. We're just passing through. You know, our time, our effort, our sacrifice, our money, things we do for God for the rest of our lives will be worth it. Even, you know, we're going to have sickness, we're going to go through death, whatever. Our time is coming. It don't matter what we do, no matter how much I work out, no matter how much I run, I'm still going to leave this world. One way or the other, Jesus is going to come back and end this thing. Or I'm going to leave here. You know, as me and Brother Prince was talking about the cemetery out here, I see a lot of people die. I've never talked to them again when I laid them in the ground. The only thing we can do is have hope of preparing, getting our family prepared, and if someone does leave, we can have a reunion in heaven with them, with all the redeemed. But we got to stay prepared. We got to get our families prepared, because everything we do, everything we can say, everything we can give, our time, like I say, our effort, will be worth being in heaven with God. Amen. There's a lot of things that we need to be doing. John 14, 1, 2, and 3 tells us in this life, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. So we see, if our hearts are troubled, and we've got sorrows and problems, don't let it drag you out of the church. know, I know people, just like this fella, it's my nephew, to be exact. He fell out of the church, and he was the firstborn of the nephews, and me and him have been tight all our lives, through Little League, everything. He comes up, falls out of the church. I don't know why. So it's disappointing, man. It's disappointing to see someone like that just fall out of church. Won't say why, won't say nothing. But don't give up, because all we can do, we want to see, we want everybody to understand that when we die, we want that hope of eternal life, that we can be together in eternity. You know, we're put here to love one another. And it's hard to give up a loved one. But if you're prepared to meet God, and the loved one's prepared to meet God, we have that hope. We have that hope of eternal life. So that's what we need to focus on, man. In our God's house, there's many mansions. He goes to place for me and you. There's many sacrifices faithful Christians have to make. But the glories that's coming has no bearing on the suffering and the pain and the headaches and the problems we have in this life. There's no way that I can stand here with a little bitty piece of the puzzle that I am and tell you how wonderful heaven's going to be. Because you can't comprehend with what God made. You know, we can comprehend with our homes. We can say these big homes. I've seen some fine big homes on the water coming in here. Just at awe of them. Them is nothing compared to what it's got prepared for us. Didn't he just say he had us a mansion? And did he say he's going to come back and get us? Yes, we got to believe in the promises, ain't we? The rewards are great. I'm sure some of us, the prayer list is long. Our prayer list is long. We going to make that prayer list if we stay here long enough. You know, it's a proven fact. These old bodies are wearing out. That's what they're designed to do. It wasn't long ago I didn't have gray hair. I do now. We're eventually taking the places of others. I hate to use Brother Prince, but I'm sure he won't matter. We're eventually taking the older generation. Pretty soon it'd be us in their positions. That's the way it's designed, man. So the things we do in this life, we got to get to the point where if it's our time to go, come on and get me. You know, Paul was twex, wasn't he? He wanted to leave. He wanted to leave this world, but he said it was better for them to stay, wouldn't it? Shouldn't we be that way? Because we know that heaven will surely be worth it all. No matter what we go through, no matter what we have to take, the disappointments of people falling out, people not liking us. You know, Paul said in Romans 8 and 18, he says, "For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed." So that's why the lesson Friday, the lesson Saturday, and Sunday, this tops it, don't it? All that we go through, all that we think we can't go through, then seem like we go through it. Do you think that just happens? When we pray, do we believe that God answers our prayers? We got to look. He says, "Seek you first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, all the things we need to be added unto us." The problems we have in life is, a lot of times we put ourselves in it, wanting things that we shouldn't be wanting, acting the way we shouldn't. Our life is a lot better off when we deny ourselves, like we said last night, take up the cross and follow him. Jesus didn't have a wonderful life here, did he? I don't read in there nowhere where he was having a wonderful life. Did you? Being beat and putting a crown of thorns on your head and being spit on and being nailed to a tree don't sound too fun, does it? In him, the Son of God. So we're all going to have these problems. But like I said to start with Friday night, we're so blessed to know the truth. Things that happen to us, we ought to be thankful. Blessed are those who are persecuted for his sake. He says, "Be thou faithful unto death. I'll give you a crown of life." Do we believe that this morning? That heaven will surely be worth it all for the sacrifices that we do. It's not a sacrifice for me to get up this morning at 8 o'clock and drive up here. That's not the sacrifice. It's the sickness that you go through, telling people the disappointments and stuff. I was in a fine car. It was warm. We eat a biscuit. That's not sacrifice. Sacrifice is dragging the cross to Calvary with a crown of thorns on your head. Then thirsty, and they give him guile to drink. Sacrifice, ain't it? We think we sacrifice by having to get up early. We don't. We're in a warm building, beautiful building. blowing out because it's sitting on ground. It's a lot of difference, ain't it? But it never hurts to remind us that heaven will be surely worth it all. And it never hurts to remind us the cost and the rewards of being a disciple of Jesus. Disciple means follower, ain't it? All the cost of being a disciple. Jesus must come first in our lives and everything we do. I hope we've seen that over the weekend. Him first. I say pray before you leave the house. Meditate on him all day long. Some way or another, you can bring up in the conversation Jesus Christ to somebody. Somebody's going to bring an opening of a door and you're talking to them in a period of time. Eventually, they're going to say something where you can glorify God. Ain't that what we're put here for? That's why I'm standing here for. This ain't for me. This is to glorify God. I'm a piece of the puzzle. You're a piece of the puzzle. This is the perfect law of liberty. It's a picture I'm hoping we can paint to see that we're all together trying to get to a place that's called heaven. No matter what we go through in this life, no matter what we have to take. Mama can't talk. She's got a hole in her throat. So a lot of people, you see kids with cancer, you see all this stuff. Sin caused this. But if we stay faithful unto death, Mama's going to talk again. Them kids will be okay again, won't they? That's the goal. That's why heaven would be worth it all, the suffering and pain. That's why it says in Revelation 21 and 4, there's no pain, no sorrow, no tears. The former things are passed away. If the Lord lets us live till we get back, the lesson I have is peace. And that's what we're all after. You know, you hear people winning the lottery and blowing their brains out with all kind of money. That's because they're hunting it in riches. You can only have peace of mind. You can only have peace of mind in Jesus Christ. That's a big statement, ain't it? But I guarantee you, it works. Jesus first. Not me first. I play golf. I play tennis. I play basketball. But I don't do them things when it comes to putting God second. That's the key. Jesus must come first for me to get this home that we read about in John 14, 1 and 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. One of them's for me. One of them's for you. We even got to give up family. Just like I said, my nephew falls out. I can't let that discourage me. He says, hate your father and your mother and your daughter and your son. God's first. Love him with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. I've said this before, and I mean this. If somebody's so disappointing me at a congregation, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm not going to fall away. Most of the times we fall away, when we come back, we usually find out that we say, it was my fault to start with. You know, most of the problems I have, when I back up and look at it, I have to apologize. That's hard to do. Jesus must come first. Everybody ought to be loving and unity in the same mind and the same truth. We want to get there to where heaven and be worth it all, ain't it? It's okay for people to make fun of us. I walked into Kentucky Fried Chicken and I know it's fella real well. I said, what about it, Jack Johnson? He said, all right, David. This man here was talking. We carried on a few minutes. Fella in the back said something. He said, oh, don't listen to him. He's one of them old Church of Christ. He was trying to make me and make a big joke out of it. And I was thinking inside, thank you, Lord. Now, he just proclaimed God's word for trying to be cute, didn't he? Should have bought his dinner. That means that I've done something right, and he knows that I'm trying to live right, and I'm one of them old Church of Christ people that don't believe in bringing a piano into church. I thought it was wonderful. He thought I was suffering. He thought he was going to get a good life. I was rejoicing inside. That's why we must be willing to suffer. We must be willing to bear the cross over everything. Living in the ungodly world is hard to follow Jesus, ain't it? There's so many things to drag us away. But if we stay focused and put on the blinders like the old mule did, you had to do that. I'm pretty sure I wasn't back in the old days, but they had the blinders to keep them from seeing things. Same thing we should be doing. And go back to this, and I hope this bears in your mind every time from the rest of your life you go into the congregations anywhere, you see that narrow way right there. Because there's only a few of us, few people, that will find that. That's what this whole shebang's about, my whole thing. I didn't understand how to put all these lessons together. But I said, Lord, I'm going to trust in Thee. I've only been nervous every day, but He's took care of me. You got to endure. You got to sacrifice. You got to put the nerves aside. You got to preach the gospel at any cost, because people are leaving here. You know, I believe, and I always said this, that's why the Lord wanted me to run a backhoe. You know, because I'm not a real talented person, unless it comes to sports. Now I can run a backhoe. Now I'm digging graves for 20-something years to see death. I see it. I see what it's about. I see how the people act. I go back and watch it covering up. People was crying, hollering, please, Mama, come back. You can't do it. That's why we need to be prepared that we can all be in heaven with our families. And I thank God to see that sorrowness. It sounds bad, but you use that in a positive way. We all go, don't we? We all go to the funeral homes and see that person sitting there or laying there that has no hope, no more hope in this life. Our hope's over, ain't it? How many songs have we let slip by? How many times have people sung a song saying, come to the front? I let it go by. I've sat in the back at West Gasson and say, the Lord knows when I get older, I'm going to live the Christian life. How foolish I was, but He had mercy on my soul. We got to endure for Christ's sake, because heaven will surely be worth it all. Someday, our day will come. Just like when He says, He's the Church of Christ, people. Someday, when we're standing before the Almighty God, my day will come. And I've said this before, and it's kind of mean. That old fellers keep trying to get God out of everything. I forgot what his name is. Wouldn't you like to be standing there beside him and just, hey, don't you know he's going to have a wake-up call? How can a man get on national TV and deny God Almighty? That is unreal. That was unheard of when I was a boy. It was scary to see that. Sometimes we may have to serve alone. Sometimes there's only a few that help us. We talked about last night, bearing our own burdens, bearing everybody else's burdens. If we work together in love and spirit and truth, there's no way we can miss heaven. God didn't design heaven for us to miss it. You know, I used to say, and I've had to repent on that. I used to say, living Christian life hard to do. You ever heard that? You know why it's hard? Because I made it that way. Because the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life gets in your way. It's hard because there's so much to do. There's so many ball games to watch. There's so much tennis to play. So much golf to play. That's why it's hard to live a Christian life. Lose friends and stuff, but the friends that you really have, if they really are your friends, they will stay with you through thick and thin. And if someone leaves you because you're trying to live the Christian life, it wouldn't your friends start with. That's the way I look at it. Because heaven will surely be worth it all. And you know, the Paul, as we talked about over this weekend, he endured a lot of hardship. He was looking for something. He's looking for the same thing we're looking for when we got up this morning, man. I was glad to go to the house of the Lord. He was looking for a house not made with hands. He's looking for the grace of God. He's looking for a glorious transformation. We're all going to be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye when He comes back. I hear that a lot in the graveyard. You hear that a lot. They just comfort their family and tell their family all these things. You know, these people that's not teaching the truth, it's going to be a sad day when they go there. Paul looked for something, didn't he? A heavenly kingdom. The Lord's going to deliver us all out of here one day. Peter, a man who likewise suffered a lot of hardship, didn't he? But he's looking for an inheritance that's impassable, undefiled, reserved in heaven, and that's what I'm looking for. I won't have to paint. You don't have to do nothing on that one because it's perfect. Perfect home, man. Because God made it, didn't he? John, he suffered tribulation. He was in the Isle of Patmos, wasn't he? But he was shown something, wasn't he? He was shown heaven, wasn't he? He's hunting something where there's the ones that's overcome these sinful tribulation, sorrowness, and everything that they went through. What if we was Apostle Paul or Peter or John? I'd had to walk here this morning. You know, it's like I said the other night. When old Ben asked me to have this thing here, I found every excuse in the world not to have it. I tried every way in the world to tell Ben, I cannot do it, Ben. I'm a one-lesson person. I cannot have more than one lesson. And I remembered one time when I was praying, I said, Lord, give me some opportunities. Give me some opportunities. Something to go further. Then it hit me. If you pray for something and you get the opportunity, why not take the opportunity? Had to practice what I preach. There you go, when you stand behind here and you're saying things that you ought to be doing, I'm going to give account of everything that I say here. Bill is, Brother Prince is, whoever has lessons in here at Taylor's Crossroads. We got to watch what we say and watch what we pray for, or we'll get it, won't we? But the problem is, here I am, Lord, send me. Till it's time, then you don't want to do it. I don't. I didn't see you. That's why we got to guard against it. That's why we got to be like the Apostle Paul and Peter and John. We got to stay focused on the crown. What made these people continue to go? What if they come here now? Would they say heaven would be worth it? The beating and all the stuff they went through. History says some of them was even filleted. And I wouldn't have been here, but I had to walk. They had to walk everywhere. They was always hungry and thirsty. I'm full as a tick. You see the difference in sacrifice? Sacrifice is not getting up, you know, like I say, sacrifice is not going an hour and a half. It's just not to make the second mile. It's when you tarred and you give out and you go a little further. Then it's recorded and God will say, well done, enter into the joys of the Lord. Well, I just told you, in his house are many mansions. The streets pure gold. We're going to read that here in a few minutes. Let's turn to Revelation 11. Now this is going to be a long, kind of long reading. But when I get through with it, you'll see why I had to read it all. I think it'll be worth read all of it. It'll be beneficial. It is to me when I read it every time. Revelation 11 through 15. We're going to start right there. And we're going to go to Revelation 21 and 10 and go through 27. This is John on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city of Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. I heard a great voice of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of man is with God. I'm starting, with Revelation 1 through 4. And he said, dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with their God, and they be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no sorrow, no tears, the former things are passed away. He said, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Now I'm going to go up here and read Revelation 11 through 15. John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead was judged according to their works. Now, I'm going to say this before I move on. This is John on the Isle of Patmos. He saw the end of time. Guess who was there? You ever thought of that? Who did he see at the end of time? David Burnham. You. The end of time is over. We're standing before the judgment bar of God. He said, and the sea giveth the dead which were in them. Death and hell was delivered up the dead which were in them. They was judged according to, judged every man according to their works. Death and hell was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. If we prepare in this life, we're not going to die. We move on to life. If we're not prepared, we die this second death and we go to torment. He said, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we see here that in Revelation where he saw the new heaven and the new earth. We go to Revelation 10, 21 and 10. We go to 27. He said, and he carried me away in the spirit of the great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God and the light of it unto the most precious stone, like unto the jasper, clear as crystal. And he had a wall, great and high, and 12 gates, and 12 gates were 12 angels, and the names thereon, which was the name of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 12 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations in them, in the name of the apostles of the Lamb. And taught with them with a golden reed to measure the city, and the gate, and the wall thereof. And the city lie 4 square, the length as large as the breadth, and measured. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length, and the breadth, and height are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, unto clear glass. Now remember John 14, 1 and 2. Now, in my Father's house are many mansions. And this is what we're talking about, is our Father's house. He says, and the foundations of the world, the city was garnished with all manner of precious stone. The first stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, fourth emerald, the fifth sardis, and the sixth sardis, and the seventh castor, and the eighth beryl, ninth topaz, tenth sig pertus, and eighth jastin, and the twelfth amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, ever several gates of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it was transparent glass. You know, we leave a lot of songs that says, the streets are pure gold. Did it say anything about streets? It says, street of pure gold. So when I sing a song and that word comes up, I say street, because that's where I'm headed, is to where there's a street of gold. He said, I saw the temple, therefore, for God Almighty and the Lamb of the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. The glory of God did lighten in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved walked in the light of it. And the kings and the earth do bring their glory and honor in it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there is no night there. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that's he does not have anything to do with darkness. Sin is darkness. There will be no more darkness in when we leave this world if we make it to heaven. Because if we're in darkness, we're in sin. So God has nothing to do with darkness, does he? He said, and the gates of it was not shut at all by night, and they shall bring all the glory into it. There shall no wise enter anything that defieth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, for they which are written in the book of life. You go back to Revelation 11 through 15, we better be written in the book of life. Amen. Now, I said all these, and I tried to hurry them up because it was a lot of them. But you can go back over them and read them. Remember Revelation 21 and 4. I got ahead of myself. It said, there's no pain, no sorrow, no tears. John 14, 1 and 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I said all that to say this. And it's worth it. Tell me why you would leave this building this morning unprepared to meet God, not to live in a place that I just read. Made a lot of sense now, don't it? Heaven will surely be worth it all. Because this is what it's about. I just give you the picture of heaven. This is the picture we've been trying to paint since Friday. Do you want to live in heaven with God and get all these blessings? There's no need of the sun or the stars. God's face shines all the time. The gates are not shut. There's no darkness there. There's no pain. There's no murders. There's no terrorist attacks. There's no headaches. There's nobody that's different from somebody. It's all glory, glory, glory. And I heard a man explain something one time, and I'll try to explain it to you the way he did. He said in hell, it was all sitting at a table. Food all around. They sat with a 4-foot table between them. The key was, they all had 4-foot spoons. They was fighting, carrying on. Couldn't get nothing in their mouth with that 4-foot spoon. In heaven, same place, same food, same spoons. Here's the difference. The ones on this side was feeding that side. The ones on that side was feeding this side. That's the difference, ain't it? That's called love. The first love and desire will have a chance to make it to heaven one. That's where the faithful is. The faithful. Paul, Peter, John. The ones that's left here that's faithful. They're there. You can't compare to the years of service, even the hardship that we have, to be in the presence of the Almighty God forever. He says that one day is like 1,000 years with the Lord. Time does not, it's just like, the only way I've figured out to figure out eternity, and it's just a small piece, and it's probably not the right way to even figure it out, but it gives you something to think about. It's like when you're little and you're driving to Florida. Daddy always wanted to get up at midnight and go. And when you get down there, and you wake up in the back seat, you say, where am I at? What day am I in? What day is this? I'm sure we all have done that. Use that as eternity. Because that's the way it's going to be. Because the time stands still. Where am I at? What time is it? That's the only thing I can figure on eternity. It's the only way I can comprehend with this mind what God says, that it's the same. It's kind of a picture that's hard to... It don't really matter, though. Because when if the Lord's will we to make it, we can say, what about this? And he'll explain it to us. Because we look through a glass, not now, dark, don't we? But one of these days, face to face. One of these days, face to face. Heaven will surely be worth it all to talk to the Lord, wouldn't it? Matthew 18 and 20 says, where two or three are gathered together, I'm in the midst. He said, he's in the midst. So every time we miss church, we miss being with Christ. You ever thought of it that way? And where are we trying to get to? Now, if I'm at a ball game and I miss church, I'm out there wanting to play ball, and I'm trying to get heaven to be with Christ, and I could have been with Christ if I hadn't went to the ball game. A lot of difference, ain't it? We all have problems. Remember this. These lessons for myself. I'm giving this lesson here, hopefully, that you can see some things that I see for myself. Because I don't judge nobody. I got to live the Christian life myself. Paul, Peter, and John was to come back. What would they say? Come on up, because it's worth it. It was worth all we went through. You know, they was beat. Stephen was stoned, sitting there hitting in the head with rocks. I'd have had to throw one back, wouldn't you, Brother Prince? You go to getting hit in the head with rocks, and I'm going to stop that. What did he do? He said, Lord, forgive him, and I don't know what to do. I've never been drove with a nail in my hand, but I'm pretty sure that hurt too, don't you? He said, forgive them, they know not what to do. That's what Jesus said. That's hard to do, ain't it? But heaven will surely be worth it all if we live faithful and we fear God and keep his commandments, for it's the whole duty I'm put here for. It's the cost of being a disciple. Because we got to remind ourselves of the comfort to be faithful, and we can receive this, which is called heaven that we read, ain't it? This world's not our home. Let's quit trying to make it our home. That's why I don't understand people don't obey in the gospel. I don't understand people falling out of the church. I don't understand it, because when you do that, you get a reward. But it ain't the reward you're going to want. Because it's a place called hell. And you're going to have some good company there. The fearful, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, and predators and whatever. You're going to have some good company there. Now, who wants to go to a place like that? We don't want to live by them. We want them punished and moved, but we want to go with them. I don't want the lake of fire. The benefits of not being a Christian is hell. The benefits of being a Christian is the benefits of not being a Christian is hell, and the benefits of being a Christian is life everlasting, which is heaven will be worth all we do, man. We got to give up our old selves. Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, so whatsoever I'm doing this morning, I'm going to reap at the end of time. We got to stand up, not only on Sundays, that's why I brought that up. I was hoping somebody got that. The feelings. Quit living the Christian life on feelings. Do it for desires, our time, our best efforts. It's what we want to do. It's not because somebody got killed the other day. Now I'm going to draw near to God, because that'll wear off, won't it? The feelings part. I've seen people run to the front, fall out in a month. You got to get the roots. You got to study. You got to want to desire. You got to want to be in heaven that we just read about. If you do that, the roots grow. Then, if the preacher don't shake your hand at the door, you won't fall away because he didn't shake my hand. We won't do things like that, will we? It's so simple. So simple. Hebrews 10 and 23 says, he is faithful that promised. Amen. He is faithful that promised. Heaven will surely be worth it all. We read about heaven. We remember what God did for us. He is our builder and our maker. He is God. And we are his children, and we ought to be acting like it and telling people that heaven will surely be worth the sacrifice of coming to church, taking the Lord's Supper, doing the things that he wants us to do. The problem I have in my life, and I'll say it again, it's nothing to do with y'all. It all begins in that mirror. The mirror don't lie, does it? I hope this morning this lesson shows us, and our other two lessons, that heaven would be surely worth it all. You know, our time's coming. If you go out, I see a grave out here now with dirt, fresh dirt. Somebody just left here. Our time's coming, man. Our time's coming. And the end's coming. You know, like I told Vinny coming down here, I thought about this lesson for a month, and it's nearly over. Where did the time go? Where did the time go? So we, James says, life is but a vapor. Pure for a little time, vanishes away. So don't wait too long. Because if you do, you may be left behind. And when he shut the door on the ark, don't you know they was wanting to get in? God shut the door and can't get in. So shut the door. When he shuts these baby blues, the door's closed. The opportunities of these songs is gone. The begging and the praying for you is over. That's the sad part, eh? No more opportunities. No more